Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
And people started to take note of his excellence. People from other companies and within his company recognized how excellent of a worker he was, and he started to rise up the ranks in his firm. And then something happened, something unexpected. He started to feel that God was calling him to leave his work and go into full-time ministry. And it completely was unexpected because Jeff didn't grow up in a Christian home like some of you, and he didn't grow up going to youth group like some of you, and didn't grow up going to college and career group. So this kind of was unexpected. He was kind of blindsided. He was kind of taken off guard by this. And in the text we want to look at, the text that was just read this morning, Joseph, like Jeff, never saw it coming. That God kind of blindsided, if you will, kind of blindsided Joseph. And I'm not sure where you're at this morning, but maybe there are certain circumstances in your life that you never saw coming. And you're kind of blindsided by these circumstances, or perhaps it's a relationship, a deep, close relationship that has taken an unexpected turn, and you never did see that coming. Well, it's my hope and it's been my prayer that you will hear God speak very specifically to you from this text that he's given us. The big idea, if you will, the thrust of this text is simply this, that God sometimes changes our plans so that we might play a part in his plans to change the world. Let's pray. Father, as we continue, we ask that your Holy Spirit would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what he would say to each one of us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me just very quickly give you the context. So this is written by the Apostle Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And we know that because the next generation, because all the Gospels are anonymously written, but the next generation, the generation that kind of grew up under the apostles, in their writings, they tell us that Matthew wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And so they are connected to the eyewitnesses, and so that's how we know that Matthew wrote this Gospel. And Matthew is, in his community, he's writing to a Jewish Christian community that's still engaged with Jewish evangelism. Right, so you have Paul the Jew, who calls himself an apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul calls Peter the Jew an apostle to the Jews. Matthew and his communities are still engaged in Jewish evangelism, and that's why one of the big themes in Matthew's gospel is how Jesus fulfills Jewish scripture. From beginning to end, he fulfills what's written in scripture. And God had one unifying plan in salvation history, one plan, and it's God revealing his glory through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ. And so God, sometimes changes our plans so that we might have a part in his plans to change the world. The text kind of breaks down into two points. The first point is this, that God sometimes interrupts our plans with his plans. The nerve of God to interrupt our plans with his plans, but God is God. Look at the first part of verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. So Joseph had very definite plans. It was to marry Mary. He's betrothed to her. That's what the ESV says. The NIV says pledged. The ESV says betrothed. It's the idea that once you're betrothed in that day, like it's basically a done deal. So the moment Joseph got betrothed to Mary, he knew what his life was going to look like. There's going to be the wedding ceremony and the consummation, and then they're going to build a home together in his hometown, have children, and some of the sons, at least one, will follow him in the footsteps of the business, which is being a carpenter. So he kind of knew how his life was going to go. At least that's what he thought. But we can't always assume that we know God's plan. You know, my friend Jeff thought he knew what God wanted for his life, which was to be this chemist and to be a Christian in that field. But come to find out, God had other plans for Jeff. God sometimes interrupts our plans with his plans, and here's the thing, that our initial response to God's plans is often the wrong response. Let's keep reading in verse 18. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph's initial response to this predicament, right, his betrothed one, his beloved one, the one he's supposed to marry, is pregnant, and he's not the dad. And so his initial response is, okay, I'm going to divorce her, because according to God's law, Deuteronomy 24, 1-4, he has God's permission. That's what the Word of God says, Deuteronomy 24, 1-4. He has permission, God's permission, to divorce her. Early rabbinic law at that time said not only do you have permission, but it's actually mandated. You have to. And so Joseph's initial response is, okay, I'm going to divorce her. But because he's righteous, that's what the text says, he's not going to out her. Right? She's been unfaithful to him. That's his thinking. He doesn't know yet. So he has just embarrassed him, humiliated him, hurt him, betrayed him. He could have outed her. Remember John 8, the religious leaders drag that woman caught in adultery, drag her into the town square to out her. Joseph could have did something like that, but Joseph is righteous. He's not going to do that. He's going to put her away, divorce her, quietly. But it's still the wrong thing to do. It's still the wrong thing to do. That's his initial response to God's plan, and it's still the wrong thing to do. When my buddy Jeff came to recognize that God was calling him to full-time ministry, he resigned his job at his company, and he went away to seminary, and he didn't quite finish the program. He ran out of money. Right, and so he had to come back home, and he had to financially refuel so that he could finish his degree and then go on to ministry. Well, so he's looking for a job, and obviously he's looking in his field of chemistry because the goal is to make money, make as much money as quickly as possible so he can go back and finish his degree. He wasn't able to find anything in his field, but this church comes calling. This church from Ottawa says, hey, will you be our youth pastor? And Jeff is like, I don't know. For starters, Jeff knew he's not a youth guy, right? Not everybody's a youth guy. He knew he wasn't a youth guy. Next, a small church, about 180 people. This was a brand new position. So they told him what they were going to pay him, and it was peanuts. It was a little bit more than literal peanuts. Third, this was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, high-tech boom Nortel. Ottawa was the third most expensive city to live in at that time, behind Vancouver and Toronto. So, not a youth guy, getting paid peanuts to live in the third most expensive city in Canada at that time. How about no? But you know what? Our initial response to God's plans is often the wrong response. Look at your situation this morning. You know, having been blindsided by something, never saw something coming. And so you have your kind of knee-jerk reaction, that initial response. Is it possible that that response is really not what God wants you to do in that particular situation? We have to be open to that. God sometimes interrupts our plans with his plans. Secondly, God always desires that we make his plans our plans. He always desires that we make his plans our plans. Let's keep reading in verses 20 and 21. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So on the one hand, God's plans are always best, because whereas our plans are for us, God's plans are for everyone, right? Joseph in this particular situation was very naturally thinking about himself, just about himself, right? He discovers his bride-to-be is pregnant, not by him, so he is going to divorce her so that he can find somebody else and reboot his life with somebody else. But God says no. Because God is basically showing Joseph, revealing to Joseph, that life isn't just about him. Right? Your life is not just about you. We tend to live our lives that way, that my life is just about me, when the reality is my life is not just about me. It's about others. Because we're very interconnected, right? And we know the obvious connections, you know, immediate family, close friends. But God sees the whole mosaic and recognizes the interconnectedness between us and people. We don't even know. But we don't even know. We don't live our lives in a vacuum. Life isn't just about you. So whatever situation you might feel blindsided by, know this, that your life is not just about you. It is not just about you. On the other hand, God's plans are always best, because whereas our plans are temporary, God's plans are eternal. Let's keep reading verses 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Joseph's plans are very temporal, right? They're very historically limited. They're about him and his wife, and the kids that they're going to have, maybe grandkids, but more so just him, his wife, and the kids they're going to have. That's where he's focused on. But God's plans are historically unlimited. They stretch from the past, they go into the present, and they go into the forever future. God's plans are always best. And therefore, because God's plans are always best, God actually invites us to join him in the outworking of his plans. Verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So Joseph's knee-jerk reaction was the opposite of God's plans, right? Joseph was focused on him and his wife and his future kids, and so he's looking to reboot. God says, no, this isn't just about you, Joseph. God's plans were about Joseph. They included Joseph. They included Mary. They included their kids. But it went beyond them. God's plans, God was looking towards the whole world. Or as Luke writes, "Behold, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord." So Joseph had a choice to make in this situation where he had been blindsided. He had a choice to make. He could continue to be fixated on himself, or he could be open to the possibility that this wasn't just about him, that God had other things in mind. You know, for my friend Jeff, back in that day, he had a choice to make, right? He was called to ministry, he left his job, went to seminary, but wasn't able to finish. He ran out of money, he had to come back, financially refuel. The only position that came for him that he could find was his tiny little church that wanted to hire him as a youth pastor, and he's not a youth guy, and it's super duper expensive city, and they're paying him peanuts, and he's supposed to be trying to save money to go back to school. So his initial response is no. Like, no. But you know what? Jeff is a godly guy, and so Jeff prayed about it. He and his wife prayed about it. And as he started praying about it and waiting in prayer about it, God started to show them that this isn't just about you, Jeff, that this is also about my people there in Ottawa. And I have things for you to do there in Ottawa, and they're waiting for somebody like you in Ottawa. And so Jeff went. He went. And he ended up being there for 4 years. And if you talk to Jeff, he'll tell you that of his pastoral stops, and he's had three, that remains his favorite pastoral stop. He saw kids come to Christ. He saw dozens baptized. He saw many just grow like weeds in their faith. He saw God's kingdom extend through him to God's people in Ottawa. And oh yeah, he did make it back to school, had enough money to finish off his degree in school. God sometimes changes our plans so that we might play a part in his plans to change the world. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you are a God who is so unlimited and so powerful and so all-seeing. And there are things that we miss, Lord, but you miss nothing. You see all things. And I pray in particular for any here, Lord, who are in difficult circumstances, who are feeling somewhat blindsided by their circumstances. God, would you encourage them? Would you, in just even little ways, Lord, encourage them and help them to see things that they've not seen before and recognize that they are being supported by the everlasting God who cares for them, loves them, and desires to know them so intimately, so deeply, and to grant them his joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.